Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Got one question for you today. Saints, are they made or born?
Both.
Okay. We'll explore that. I spent a lot of time thinking about All Saints Day, which we're observing this morning. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to think about my late parents, my late father and my late mother, and the role they played in my life. And I thought about other people who were important to me who have passed on. We've all known saints. And I'm going to tell you now that a saint is not some category that is endorsed by the church. You don't need to be stamped and given a seal of approval by the Pope. Saints are good people. I'm going to be universalist in this. I don't think saints are limited to the church, to the Christian faith. There are saints of all kinds throughout the world. But as I was thinking about death, which can be a rather morbid topic to dwell upon, the last couple of weeks, I've gotten angry. I've thought about the pogrom that took place in Israel and the anti-Semitism that welled up afterwards. Then closer to home, I had the opportunity to dwell on what took place in Lewiston, Maine last week, and the 18 people who were shot and the 13 people who were hospitalized. And I wonder, how am I supposed to deal with all this stuff? How do I preach on this? And then I come back to the lectionary text for today. And it might not be unreasonable to ask, what does this passage have to do with All Saints Day? Well, if you read through the Beatitudes, you may be wondering just what world Jesus is speaking of. Seriously, think about this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Really? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I don't know, in our society, they were often given a swift kick in the butt. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I don't think the meek are inheriting much of anything these days. And the list goes on and on and on. But these statements are all true. They are all facts, and the world that we inhabit is not the world Jesus wants us to inhabit. Now, this isn't going to be some sort of long explanation of how we are all destined to die and go up to heaven, and we'll all have wings and play harps. I have no idea as to what the afterlife looks like. Nobody does. But we Christians live in hope. And I find it preposterous to believe that God just puts us on this earth for what, 8 decades maybe? And then it all ends. But to think of heaven as being some beautiful gated community where we all get to play golf all day, that's not it. Heaven is supposed to be something that's here on earth. Heaven is something that we are supposed to work for and something we're supposed to build. So yes, each of you can be a saint. And indeed, many of you are saints. And I can look around the sanctuary and I see people here who've done great things for our community. And sometimes they would not even think of themselves that way. So I'm going to name a saint right now who will not have thought of herself that way because of something she did last night. I will not name you, but I will tell you the story of someone who opened the door and welcomed in someone who wanted to pray here in the sanctuary after the concert ended. Now, this person said the house of God should be open all the time. Is that an unreasonable thing to think? My late mother lamented the fact that churches closed their doors and were locked at night. She remembered when they were open all the time. Now, she grew up in Newark during the 1920s and 30s. It was an urban environment. People needed a place to go where they could be safe. We do not keep our doors open all the time. And frankly, it is something that bothers me. But we live in a world of liability. And we have security fears. And I said before, I'm not interested in this church making the hat trick of old churches that have burnt down in downtown Lebanon. But we live in a world where church doors have to be locked at night. Think about that. We should be able to be open all the time. And it shouldn't be up to a big-hearted volunteer for doing the right thing. It shouldn't be up for paid staff members to be here to keep the doors open. We shouldn't live in the kind of world where you can go out and get an AR-15 and kill a bunch of people. I'm not going to go off and give you another gun control sermon, but I am going to tell you that that is wrong. Really, it's that simple. I don't care if the Constitution says you can have a gun. We've done a pretty crummy job as Americans in recent years of really honoring and upholding the Constitution. People on all sides of the aisle choose what parts they like. God does not want us to commit idolatry with a written document. I referenced the pogrom earlier, and you know what I'm talking about. The Hamas incursion into southern Israel. That was a pogrom. And I don't know what people's opinions are around the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We all are entitled to our own views. But I am going to say bluntly that what Hamas did was further proof that they are a death cult. You do not honor your God by going out and killing babies. You don't do that. It's wrong. You don't go out and support those people. There are people who are shouting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Of what? There are something like 9 million Jews who live there. Where do they go? Now Hamas wants to kill them all. They say it right in their charter. That is the kind of thing we as Christians are called to oppose. It's that simple. There are things that are wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you can't criticize Israeli policies. It doesn't mean you can complain about the way the Palestinians live. But we need to work for solutions that help people. So I think that everybody here has a good heart. But I would ask everybody here, me included, to think about how our righteous anger can lead us to support things that are really insupportable. To think about language we may have used that really is not very Christian. To think about what we have done to make the Beatitudes that Jesus has spoken of to be that much further from coming true. Think about what an incredible world this would be if these Beatitudes were all true in our lives these days. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Now, if you look at it in Luke, he just says, blessed are the poor. Will we take care of the poor? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I think there is a lot for everybody to mourn, not just the loved ones who have passed on, but the state of our society, the state of our world. And yes, it is not very helpful when someone is mourning, when they're told that it's time to put on their big boy or big girl pants and get up and go on and get on with life. But there's an element of truth to that. If we don't like how things are, we need to act. And this is a small thing for us to do, but that's one of the reasons we're having Listening next week. They are one of our mission partners, and they will give us an update on the work they're doing. And again, my hope is that the cart will be filled, and that is a way we can help build a better world. So this goes on. But it ends with the call for us to rejoice and be glad, for our reward is great in heaven, from the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So yes, if you're going to be a Christian, you may take some brickbats. And I'm not saying that you should go out and start wearing a sandwich board and telling people that if they don't do X, Y, and Z, they are going to hell. That's not being a Christian. God created the universe. The universe is a pretty big and complex place. And I don't know about you, but I don't think God really needs to punish us in the afterlife. I can't see God getting anything out of that. If you want to live in fear of eternal damnation, that's your business. But it's not your business to tell someone else that they are going to burn in hell. And maybe you've thought that. Maybe you don't say that, but you've thought that about people you don't like politically. Those people. Is that making anything better? We as a church are called to do better. We as the church have been around for 2,000 years, and we have done a lot wrong, a lot for which we need to repent. But we've also done some pretty good things. Think about that. Think about some of the beautiful music you've heard sung this morning and that Ernie has played. That's music that has come through the church. And I'm not going to give you a bill of particulars of what the church has done as good versus the things it has done as bad. But there comes a moment when every organization and institution and community of people needs to look at itself and ask what it's done, what is right, and what is wrong. So this is where it gets really quiet in here, and that's the challenge for preachers. I have no dialogue with you, and I'm not going to start a conversation now. But I would really like to know what you think about this and what you'd like to see us do as a community. Yeah, we're getting to that time of year we're going to start putting together volunteer lists for the new slate of officers for next year. But that's not what I'm talking about. This church has a great benefit. And you know that the three key words in real estate are location, location, location. This church is on a great spot of land. We've got great neighbors. We're in a wonderful location. People know us. They see us. We are visible. And remember, helping out the community doesn't just mean rolling up our sleeves and going out and working on a project. It means hosting people here and conducting ourselves in a way that catches people's attention. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to say we need to start doing some sort of weird liturgies. This is not a congregation where we're ever going to have any kind of liturgical dance, not while I'm your pastor. But people can see the way we treat one another. People can see the way we talk with one another. People can see the way we care about one another. So last week I had the opportunity to visit again with Barbara and Gordon Sargent, who send their regards and they miss being able to come here. And they appreciate your visits and your calls and your cards. But it is people like Barbara and Gordon, people who are going to pass away at some point, people like all of us who are going to die. And yes, everybody here is going to die. None of us has found a way to cheat death. Maybe you will sometime become a billionaire, and maybe you will achieve the unattainable. But I will not put my money on that proposition. And so I'm going to do something that my preaching professor warned us against in divinity school. And he said the problem with Protestant preachers is that they often like to give the congregation assignments. And that's what I'm going to do now. And I want you to think about what you want your legacy to be for your children, for the congregations of the future. And I'm not just talking about what you leave in your will. I'm not just talking about making a bequest to the church. I'm talking about the things you've done and the stories that they will tell about you, the actions that they will remember. Most of you, I presume, have heard the name Helen Smith. You may not know who she was, but she was a member of this church, a beloved member of this church. I never knew Helen. She was gone before I came here. But Helen had a love of music, and she gave a huge collection of sheet music to the church, which I believe is downstairs in the music office. And I can tell you about other people. We've lost people during the past year, people like Gloria Hammond. And it's great to see Phil, but I miss seeing Gloria next to Phil. And then I can offer other names from years gone by, Doc and Laura Place. And you can provide your own names, not only of people who are members of this church community, but people in your own lives. Will people say about you and me what we say about them? So back to the question about saints, whether they are made or born. And the one answer that was offered up was both. I'll work with that, because we are all made by God. But we aren't just saints if we sit around and twiddle our thumbs. We are saints by what we do and what we care about. If you remember the first hymn we sang today, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God, that is often a hymn we sing with the children on Children's Sunday. But it's great when you hear this rap sheet of all the different things people were. So one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green, and one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast. I hope nobody here is ever slain by a fierce wild beast. But there is the potential for sacrifice to be called upon in a life of faith. But there's only one person there who had a religious vocation, the priest, the doctor, the shepherdess, the queen. They were all folks with regular jobs, folks like you. And they were all saints. Not because of any financial gifts they made to a church, not because of any committees they sat on, but because they loved Jesus and because they followed the way of Jesus Christ. And again, that is not restricted solely to baptized Christians. We can all be good people. It's not that hard. And Jesus is calling each of us to do that. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the saints, and we thank you for those who have gone before us, who have blazed a path that we will hopefully be wise enough to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.